Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Girls Radio Wapensett. Girls Radio Wapensett. Girls Radio Wapensett.
Are you ready?
3CR 855 AM broadcasting from stolen land. May contain offensive language or material. And you're listening to the Girls Radio Offensive on 3CR 855 AM or streaming live on 3cr.org.au. We are going to do a live cross today to the G20 and the decolonisation before profit protests in Brisbane in a few minutes. So we're just going to listen to one quick song and then we will be crossing over to see what has been happening in Brisbane throughout the G20. This song is Deer in the Headlights with Dying City. You're listening to the Girls Radio Offensive, 3CR 855 AM, and we are crossing over with Brisbane. Hello.
Hello, and Arnie T Superstar?
Yes. Hi, Steph. How's it going?
It's really good, actually.
Can you tell us...
It's a really warm day.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about what's been happening up there?
Yeah. So today... They had a spontaneous kind of action rally, I think, that hadn't been planned by the police. So everyone gathered at Roma Street as usual, and some of the young kids, the warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance or War, did this action, and they, it, I guess it's in response to what Tony Abbott was saying about Indigenous people being unintelligent and the land being uninhabited.
Yeah, it was so all the bush.
It was all bush. So in response to that, they planned this action today. And, yeah, they burnt five or six Australian flags, and they also burnt three effigies. They were effigies of Warren Mundine, Neil Parson and Marsha Langton, and with the claim that they do not represent the majority of Aboriginal people in this country.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the action today, and we're marching now from Roma Street back to Musgrave Park.
Right. And what's been the police response to this unplanned action?
Well, actually, we're surrounded by hundreds of police right now. There was also... I mean, the city is crawling with them. They're everywhere. So I guess it was pretty easy to get large numbers here really quickly. Yeah, but I guess they're staying away and kind of letting us do what needs to be done, which is nice.
And what about yesterday, the big day of protest? What happened then?
So I actually didn't go to that, so I can't actually speak because I had to remain at Musgrave Park. But I think there was between 1,200 to 2,000 people that attended. You can probably hear around people chanting and talking. Yeah.
And what about the week of events at the Decolonisation Before Profit? Can you tell us a bit about what's been going on for that?
Yeah, sure. I can actually pass you on to someone. There are people here that would like to speak, if that's
sure.
All right. Yeah, sure. Yeah? So we've got Bo here. He's one of the members of Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance. So I'll just hand you over to him. Thanks, Annie.
Thanks.
How do I hear the question?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. How are you going?
That's good. It's me, Bo.
Hi, Bo. So I'm Arnie from 3CR. I was wondering if you can tell us a little bit about what's been happening over the week.
Definitely. You know, we've been in the park since the 8th, setting up for the First Nations response to G20. You know, and we've had, you know, different rallies, forums and marches, you know, discussing a lot of the issues that we face as Aboriginal people in this country in 2014. Monday we had the Stop Stealing the Stolen Generation.
Yeah.
Stop Stealing the Stolen Generation. Tuesday we had anti-mining early march and forum. Wednesday we had the Young People's Forum. Thursday we had the Beyond Native Title, Land Rights and Sovereignty forum discussion. Friday we had the Black Deaths in Custody rally, march and forum. Yesterday we had the First Nations response to G20, the Decolonisation Before Profit march and forum discussion. And then today we're finishing off with another rally and march from Roma Street back to Musgrave Park.
And can you tell us a little bit about WAR? W-A-R?
WAR.
Yeah.
Yep, W-A-R stands for Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance.
Yeah.
This has been something that's been discussed between a few of us over the last year and a half. We've got members from here all the way down the east coast of Australia, down to Melbourne. You know, and what it's about is, is a platform, you know, for young people, you know, to start galvanising around, you know, the political, I guess, spectrum, you know, from a First Nations perspective, you know, and start to get involved on a grassroots level with, you know, what's important and what and the real issues that we face, you know, and you know, that's what WAR's all about. I think the most important thing that we must understand about WAR, you know, it's a change of the guard, just like in 1972 when four men went down to Canberra, you know, and set up the Aboriginal Tin Embassy. You know, and just like in 82, when, you know, young people, you know, galvanised in Musgrave Park, you know, to protest the Commonwealth Games, to protest the Commonwealth Games, you know, and in those moments, you know, that shake, that, you know, that politically change this country, you know, not just for Aboriginal people, but for, you know, everybody that calls this country home. You know, what we're doing with war is the exact same thing, is that we want to change the political spectrum, and we want to change how people see our people in 2014 and beyond.
Definitely.
And it's all about, you know, us, you know, and it's all about us, you know, being ready to get up and, you know, march and rally, get arrested, get beaten up, just like our old people did, you know, back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and ever since 1788.
And have a lot of young people come from around Australia to be part of the Decolonisation Before Profit Week?
Yeah, definitely. We've got mob from Perth, you know, the Noongar mob from Alice Springs, you know, mob from Far North Queensland, you know, mob from Victoria, Western New South Wales, Western Queensland, Northern New South Wales, you know, I think there's some Adelaide mob here too, you know, and that's what it's all about, you know, immersing ourselves, you know, around our old people who were part of, you know, the political action in the 70s, the 80s and the 60s. And, you know, absorbing the knowledge, you know, that they're willing to pass on, you know, and that's the whole thing about, like, us as Aboriginal people anyways. It's all about sharing, caring, you know, and passing that on.
And
that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Well, it definitely sounds amazing. There hasn't been something that this big that is specifically led by Aboriginal people, especially in regards to, you know, the G20 or something like that for a very long
time.
As you said. What about your plans from now? Do you think this is like a catalyst for future networking and resistance?
Definitely. You know, one of the things that we said, you know, at the end of each forum discussion is where to next.
Mm.
You know, on Monday, the grandmothers against removal, what they said is they want to descend on Canberra on the 13th of February next year, you know, and march on Parliament and, you know, camp at the embassy,
mm-hmm.
you know. Now, that's what they want to do next year, so that's where they're going.
Yeah.
You know, on Tuesday, we talked about, you know, what's going on in Perth, and what's going on in Western Australia. You know, at the moment, you know, the WA government and the WA police force is killing Aboriginal people wholesale, and that's the murder capital for black people.
Yeah.
If you're Aboriginal in this country and you go to Western Australia, you got to watch out because they might kill you. You know, and that's what we're looking at the moment. So we're looking to send a few delegations from the East Coast over there on Invasion Day, you know, and help them mob out that way, sing it up and talk it up out that way there. You know, and then us young people, we've decided that the week after Invasion Day that we'll go down to Melbourne and, you know, talk it up down there. We're relaunching the magazine Brisbane Blacks next year.
Yeah.
I will change the name to Black Nations Rising, and because Kira Rusk is one of the co-editors and she lives in Melbourne, we're going to relaunch. We're going to have two launches: one in Brisbane on the 26th of January, and then one a week and a half after Invasion Day, when we'll descend on Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And also have some forms and marches started. Have some forms of marches, you know, to attend while we're down there and sing it up and try and get more young people involved in what's going on down there.
It sounds so interesting and amazing. If people who are listening at home want to get involved or support what's going on in any way, what can they do?
I guess, you know, just follow us on Facebook, you know, follow the discussion. No, like if you're non-First Nations, yeah, I guess, you know, just follow the conversation and where we're going to be next. And so you can also, you know, be a part of what we're doing. And if you're Aboriginal, you know, like, by all means, you know, have these discussions in your community. You know, these are discussions that we must lead, you know, in our own backyards, you know, because that's where change is going to start, you know, once we, you know, keep this discussion going.
That's right. And is there anything else you want to tell us about what's been happening in Brisbane or what you guys are doing now?
I think at the moment, no, we're just worrying. We're just, you know, dealing with all this G20 stuff in Brisbane. You know, at the moment, you know, I think for the first time this week that we've rallied, you know, we've actually got the riot squad out and the actual G20 cops. Every other day, it's just been normal, plain clothes police that have, followed the marches. But now it's, look like they mean business.
And so can you describe what's going on around you right now? So you've got the riot cops, what else?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of them. We're just marching down with our chants, you know, revive, resist, revive, decolonize.
What's this other one?
I can't hear that one. But yeah, you know, like it's revive, resist, revive, decolonize. That's one of the chants.
Chill out.
One of the other ones is the ones just land. We do. Pigs murder blacks and get away with it. Yeah, like all the different chants that we've been doing throughout the whole week.
Ooh. And we seem to have dropped off the line there, so we might just go to a song and then see if we can go back over. So I'll cross right to a song now and then we'll come back.
Hey, I got my woman's day. Hey, the rest of what's to say? What to tell your children? How to fuck your man? How to meet my children? How to meet our perfect woman? I have to get more singing out of my chocolate cake. Then they say you've got to be healthy and you've got to lose weight. Right. And market is for women.
Hello?
We lost you there.
It's good. Now in a park?
Great.
Can you
so,
hear? So,
yeah, I can hear you. So, you're stopping in a park. What's happening now?
So, I'm not sure what's happening. Everyone's milling around. There's a couple of ambulances and hundreds of police. But maybe they're going to go do some speeches or another action. I'm not sure.
And so people have stopped. We heard there was a lot of riot police around before. Is that why people have stopped or is it to do something else?
No, I think this is just a stopping point. Also, it's really hot and people need water. I think there's been, someone in an ambulance or something. Mm. So, yeah, just to kind of, things like this.
And
We might have a corroboree, actually.
Oh, yeah. And so what's been your experience of the week? Obviously, like, hearing a lot of things, meeting a lot of different people that you wouldn't have met before. What's come out of it for you?
Yeah, it's just been incredible, actually, especially staying with people from the Aboriginal Brisbane Sovereign Embassy. They've been really welcoming and camping out there in the park. It's just been so much fun. I've met heaps of people and learnt so much, I guess, from everybody as well. So I guess for me, that's been the most exciting part.
And obviously we had a lot of people go up from Melbourne as well with the First Nations bus and as well as the 3CR bus. And do you think it's been a really important networking time for a lot of people, especially the First Nations bus, to be able to have the chance to meet with everybody up there and plan for the future?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the most important part of the whole thing is that Aboriginal people from all over the country actually are here today. This week, and people are making connections. I mean, the Sovereign Grannies, making connections with women in other communities and helping them kind of start up the same sort of similar organisations in their own communities. So, yeah, it's just been really fantastic, I think, for everybody that's been involved. And I think there's also plans for some of the people from the Aboriginal Sovereign Embassy to come to Melbourne, possibly in the next week or so. Connections are being made and it's really exciting. I think it's a really building and a really growing kind of movement. People have been inspired. Like, I heard stories of people who are working either in the mining industry and stuff that have been, saying, oh, actually I have this new understanding of what's going on in our communities and I'm going to quit my job here, so this kind of thing as well, which has been really cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, so
And was there anyone else around who would want to speak to us or anything else anyone wants to say?
I'm just looking. I think people are being... Yeah, there's going to be a corroboree, so...
Great.
People are involved in that, so I think we'll just leave them to do that.
Cool. Well, if
you... A bit
you...
of dancing.
Well, maybe we'll leave the cross there. And thanks very much for your information.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, thanks to everybody else, and good luck with the last day of it, really.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I'll see you back in Melbourne.
Bye.
Bye.
And you're listening to the Girls Radio Offensive on 3CR 855 AM, streaming live on 3cr.org.au. That was Katie Spitt with Dreamworld Waiting or Let Me Know. Before that, we listened to Reviver with Cold in My Bones. And at the top, we listened to Apocalypstics with War in My Head. During the Live Cross, we really quickly listened to Gash, Cleo Cosmo. And we were just crossing live with the Decolonisation Before Profit week and protests in Brisbane that's happening as part of the G20. And to just follow up on some of the things that were mentioned by both Biram and Steph during that cross, so the protest today, I think, was partly in response to Abbott's comments during the G20 meeting. He had an international business breakfast in Sydney before the G20 with British Prime Minister David Cameron and other people. And basically his comments were that Australia was nothing but bush before the British invasion, calling pre-colonisation civilisation extraordinarily basic and raw. Part of his thing that we've been talking about recently about trying to recognise the rise of Western civilization and blah, 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 he said, "As we look around this glorious city, we see the extraordinary development. It's hard to think that back in 1788 it was nothing but bush, and that the marines and the convicts and the sailors that struggled off those 12 ships just a few hundred yards from where we are must have thought they'd come to the moon. Everything would have been so strange. Everything would have seemed so extraordinarily basic and raw. And now a city which is one of the most spectacular cities on our globe and in a country which is as free and as fair and as prosperous as any." So obviously this is completely ridiculous. What a joke. But completely, obviously, not surprising that most people, and especially the government and business and everything, despite the court technically overturning the doctrine of terra nullius, recognizing that there was actually a form of life and society in Australia before colonization and genocide, which was the hundreds of different First Nations that existed around this continent, and that nothing but bush is not actually a bad thing, and what is the point of celebrating the extreme destruction of the environment, the people who lived here, the extinction of species and species of animals, and its replacement with a society which is completely built on slavery, colonial domination, exploitation, oppression, and the massacre of a lot of people everywhere. In terms of the most spectacular cities on our globe, what is the price to be paid for this? And a country that's as free and fair, as prosperous as any, and I would say that's true. None of them are free, none of them are fair, but this nation is definitely very, very prosperous, built on the exploitation, oppression and genocide of peoples around the globe, and particularly First Nations people in Australia. And this is exactly the point. The G20, or the Genocidal 20, as they're being called, is just another meeting, another representation of where the power of this society lies and the institutions and the structures which keep this exploitation, domination and hierarchy in place. So the G20 was created partly as a response to critique of the G8, critique of the G8 as being too elitist and taking into account only richer countries, and that most of the countries in the G8, their economy was actually declining. So then the G20 opened it up to growing economies in what's called the second and third world, I guess, so in the majority world, as a means of pretending that this is somehow more democratic or more representative of the interests of people around the world. But everybody knows that governments do not represent their people. And the G20, as an economic forum, it represents the interests of the capitalist economy, the businesses and the other people who profiteer from the destruction of the globe, environment and its peoples, and the slavery and exploitation of the many. The protest today was definitely in this. So Abbott says, "The arrival of the First Fleet was the defining moment in the history of this continent." Let me repeat that. It was the defining moment in the history of this continent. It was the moment this continent became part of the modern world. So basically, Abbott, as our entire nation does, celebrates the death, genocide and land theft from Aboriginal people and their continued exploitation, dispossession, and terrible treatment at the hands of this system. And Abbott and most of the country and most of the world thinks that this is a good thing, and this is something that we should celebrate and teach everyone in schools and, you know, be proud of as the defining moment. If what it takes to join the modern world is to join the genocidal, murderous land theft that is modern capitalism and white supremacy, then I guess that is the defining moment. It was certainly a defining moment for Indigenous cultures in terms of the beginning of a long history of, yeah, genocide, slavery, exploitation, depression, anxiety, land theft, and the ongoing trauma that people face today, which is why you have people like War and the people up in Brisbane trying to revive resistance and find ways to continue to motivate themselves to fight against this system. We're going to listen to a bit more music now, and then we're going to talk about what's happening in WA. This next song is Trash with Dark Heart.
Buy a ticket in the 3CR raffle. You could be in the running to win a luxurious weekend camping experience in a fancy bell tent for two. Generously donated by Happy Glampa. They do all the work so that you have just to turn up, relax and enjoy. Check out happyglampa.com.au for more information. Drop into the station during business hours or call us on 9419 8377. Happy Glampa is a 3CR supporter.
Yeah!
And that song was Death First with Trapped. And before that, we listened to Contorture with The Streets Were Never Yours. You're listening to the Girls Radio Offensive on 3CR 855 AM or 3cr.org.au. We were just talking about Tony Abbott's comments and the way it reflects the nature of colonial white Australia. And something else that was mentioned in the Live Cross by Bo Spearham earlier is the Premier Colin Barnett and WA's plan to close down over 100 First Nations communities in WA. And this is part of a continuation of the viable community policy, which was first sort of talked about and introduced in the Northern Territory as part of the EPIC package deal of policies related to the Northern Territory intervention or the final wave of colonial domination of the northern part of Australia. And basically the idea that the plan from the 90s and 80s of community autonomy, letting some people in areas that we didn't really care about at that time, who are First Nations people, to continue to live on their land, to avoid some kind of public shaming or international shaming or maybe guilt or, I'm not sure, resistance. We'll let people live on their lands and we'll fund them through, for example, Centrelink and some funding for predominantly jobs from people from outside of the communities to provide services to people within the communities. Has now failed because we can't afford to just keep paying these people when the communities themselves are not profitable, and especially now that we've realised the land underneath them is actually very profitable. So, you know, this idea that it's not viable. So, for example, this particular WA thing is because the federal government has cut a lot of funding towards Indigenous services and institutions and communities, and the WA government says, well, we can't afford to make up the cut of funding, so we're just going to have to close down communities. And this has already started. There's a few communities that we talked about actually a couple of months ago. For example, there's one community, Umbulguri, and then another community recently where the people were evicted. They were left homeless for 18 months. They're homeless in the streets of Perth. They've got nowhere to go. They were told, oh, well, you're all going to get other housing. People, first of all, didn't want to leave their homelands, didn't want to go anywhere else, but at the same time were just left homeless with nowhere to go at all, despite the government's promise of other housing that they could move into. So CEO of Aboriginal Legal Services of WA, Noongar Men, Dennis Eggington, has called the close to the communities of First Peoples an outrage. He says it will be catastrophic for people to be forced off their land and their country. And residents of remote communities are horrified. Western Australia is more concerned about profits than people, he says. How can you even contemplate removing people from their land when it is the very essence of their being? If our people were pastoralists living in remote WA, we would be supported, accommodated and rewarded for our efforts. And it's worth interjecting here and mentioning that the amount of funding that pastoralists receive in subsidies, because, you know, things like sheep and cow farming are not actually that profitable in Australia without this kind of subsidies, because the land is not really designed for it, despite what these like people from England initially thought, is more than all the Aboriginal communities receive. But that's not what we're talking about ending. Anyway, Dennis says, yet because we're Aboriginal people who perhaps don't share the same materialistic values as our non-Indigenous counterparts, we are seen as not being viable and we should be removed. There's that term again. He says, mining companies have the green light to carve up Aboriginal land. We supposedly live in the lucky country, yet our poorest, most disadvantaged are once again being targeted and shunted around with little or no regard for the health and well-being of those community members or the regions they will be moved to. We're First Nations people who have survived for thousands of years by living on a land that owns us. We respect our land, we respect our culture, and to be ordered from our traditional lands is an international disgrace. It's definitely worth saying as well, as part of this thing, that it would be silly to ignore the other implications of people being moved off their land. So there has been a spate of native title claims over parts of WA, particularly the most controversial one over the Perth area and surrounds. And one of the things that the ridiculous native title system puts into place is that people need to demonstrate a continued and unbroken connection to land since colonisation to be able to have any minor form of land rights recognised, or native title. It was not land rights, but any minor form of even needing to be sort of consulted or rewarded or something like this for mining practices, you need to show this continued connection. So anyone who has been removed from their homelands and therefore the connection is broken is unable to claim for native title. And the only peoples really who are actually able to prove this kind of thing are people in, for example, these remote areas of Australia, such as the north of WA, north South Australia and the Northern Territory, because these are only people who've sort of been able to stay at least near their traditional lands. Once people are removed and moved to big cities and things like this, not only do they no longer have a house, they no longer have a community, they no longer have any form of autonomy, they can no longer live on their homelands. Also, any ability to veto mining on their land through native title or things like this is completely lost. There's actually no way people can then access any form of recognition of ownership of their land, because according to the law, they don't have a continued connection to the land, therefore they can't apply for native title. And obviously native title is completely bullshit anyway, but it's definitely worth thinking about this kind of stuff in terms of mining and the future. We're also looking at this kind of playing out of how colonization has caused people to no longer have an ability to survive for themselves in their homeland. So one of the biggest issues, obviously, is the fact that due to dispossession, people being forced into missions, into slavery on stations, this kind of thing, forced to rely on handouts and rations and being paid in the form of food or accommodation, really shit accommodation on stations, then led to people being in communities with some small form of autonomy in these places that used to be missions or station reserves, with no actual means of supporting themselves because they don't have access to all the land people used to have access to find food, grow food, do anything like this. They don't have enough land to turn it into something where they can participate in a viable food-producing economy or money-producing economy. It's very notoriously known that people very much struggle to get jobs in their own community, and most jobs in remote communities are in the form of Aboriginal welfare service provision, which generally are filled by non-Aboriginal people. And so it becomes this complaint of colonial Australia that Aboriginal people are a black hole of funding and we just get money in, put money in, and we don't get any money out. Obviously, completely failing to recognise the fact that every dollar that's ever been earned in Australia is completely on the basis of the dispossession of Aboriginal people, not to mention the fact that there is absolutely no way people can have any form of autonomy as long as they do not have rights to the use, free use of land and enough land to actually be able to create a proper existence for oneself. So, you know, this kind of stuff and the closures are not just going to impact on these communities, but then where are people going to go? They're going to go to larger towns and communities which have, in Aboriginal areas, a complete shortfall of housing, of funding, of any kind of place for people to go. They're already overcrowded. People already experience so much racism and oppression. For example, you know, in Alice Springs, the closures of 100, 250 communities in WA, people will go to Alice Springs. In Alice Springs, it's very difficult to get a job if you are an Aboriginal person. It's predominantly white people in jobs, and Aboriginal people are the source of funding for these positions. And it's the biggest, you know, scam, I guess, of the modern era, is one of the ways people continue to make money off the dispossession of Aboriginal people is not just in terms of the existence of Western civilization or mining or destruction of land, but then profiting off people's misery in terms of the creation of funding and these sorts of jobs to supposedly help people whilst keeping people in a position of victimhood, reliance and dependence. And then the moment funding is cut, people are screwed because, you know, those positions are gone. The ways people have been forced to rely on the system, there's nothing to replace that. So, yeah, it's definitely worth keeping an eye on what's going on, and if people are coming back to Melbourne after the G20 and motivated and excited to continue doing workshops and protests and meeting up and continuing with organising, something that we'll keep talking about on the show and people should continue to get involved in. We're going to listen to a bit more music now. This is Las Otras with Tragedia.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.